But the first one is our scripture reading, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. 1 John 3, verses 1 to 3. And I love the words that the Apostle John uses. This is God's word. And John writes, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure." You know, I love the way John starts off the chapter. He says, "See what great love the Father," and then he uses the word, "has lavished on us." Lavish is an amazing word. You know, you can be kind to somebody, and you can give him or her, you can give him like a, I'm not insulting anybody, but you can give him a box of like Russell Stover chocolates. And those are good chocolates. I've eaten many in life. Or you could go out and get Godiva chocolates, which are like super crazy expensive, and you can give them to your loved one. That's lavishing kindness and goodness and love upon somebody. You know, no limits, no you spare no expense. And that's what verse 1 is saying. See what great love the Father has lavished upon us. He has not held back anything. And what did He do? The love that He gave us was that He sent Jesus, His Son, on the cross. Now, here is Jesus, the Son of God, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He does not need us, and yet He sees that you and I have a problem that we cannot fix. It's a sin problem, and we can't fix it. And so Jesus gets up off of His throne, takes upon Himself human flesh in the womb of Mary, the Virgin Mary, and takes upon Himself human flesh, humiliates, humbles Himself, for 9 months is in the womb of Mary, and here He is, the God of the universe, who made everything, made Mary, made everything that we see, and yet now He is a baby in her womb, growing and developing, and then He's born. And I shared this in a Christmas message before. Jesus was not born potty trained. And so here He is, the God of the universe, who lowers Himself to wearing a diaper. And He has to be burped by Mary, His mother. And He has to be fed by her. He has to be nurtured by her. His diaper has to be changed by her. That's what God did for us. That's the love that He has lavished upon us. And it was all for one end, that our sins would be forgiven and that we would become the children of God. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And if you have placed your faith in Christ, if you're trusting in Jesus as your Savior from sin, then you are a daughter of God. You are a son of God. And God calls you His children. You know, prior to our salvation, we are not children of God. And John emphasizes that we are now children of God. And he says, and that is what we are. And then he goes on in verse 2. He says, listen, the best is yet to come. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You know, the reality is that we are saved and we're still in these bodies, and these bodies wear out. You know, I'm a testimony to that. You know, our bodies wear out. We had a prayer of confession this morning. We still sin. We still do things that are wrong. We have a sin nature still. But John tells us and gives us this assurance that the day is coming, that even though we are children of God, the best is yet to come. The day is coming that we shall be like Christ when He appears. And that means we get brand new bodies. We get brand new bodies. Bodies that have no disease, no sickness, no pain, no suffering, and also no sin. That we have love that is perfect. We have joy that is perfect. We have peace that is perfect. We don't have restless or sleepless nights. We don't have times of tears and crying when we lose a loved one, when we ourselves are suffering and hurting, whether it be physically or emotionally. that the day is coming when Jesus makes and comes back and makes his new heavens and new earth, establishes them. And there is no more pain and no more suffering and no more sorrow and no more sin. And all these bad things are done away with and all is new. All is brand new. And so John's excited about this. That God the Father has lavished this great love on us now. He sent Jesus. And through Jesus' work on the cross, and when you accept him and place your faith in him, you become a child of God, a son and daughter. But the best is still yet to come, and this is his lavished love upon us, that one day we will be like Jesus, and we will enjoy him forever and ever. You know, I've done a lot of funerals in life, and you know, when I do a funeral for somebody who knows Jesus, I tell people, I say, you know, I used to speak of somebody who died in the past tense. I would say, he was a good person. She was a good person. But then one day it dawned on me that they're with Jesus. And they're not in the past tense. They're still very much alive. And so now when I do funerals, I say, he is a good person. He's still a good person. She's a good person. And then I go on and say, you know, she or he is having the very best days of their life, better than anything they had on earth, because they are in the presence of Jesus. You know, my sister died this past year in March, or a year ago, I guess, actually, March of 2022, and I did her funeral. You know, I ended the funeral. I said, you know, this is not a goodbye, Kay. This is a, I'll see you later. I'll see you later. Because she's safe in the arms of Jesus, and I'm going to see her one day. That is the kind of love the Father has lavished upon us. A love that we enjoy now as believers in Christ, as sons and daughters, but the best is yet to come. Because one day when we see Jesus face to face, we get brand new bodies, and we will be like him. We will see him. And we will be perfected in holiness, perfected in joy, perfected in love. This is the first love note that the Lord gives us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. And dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. There's another love note, and that's in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. One of my favorite verses. Revelation chapter 1. And John is writing this. John is in exile. He's like in his 90s. He's on this island called Patmos. The Roman emperor, his name was Domitian. He was in power at the time. And Domitian decided that he was God, and he wanted everybody to call him Lord. He wanted everybody to call him God and bow down and worship him as the emperor, as God. And, of course, a Christian couldn't do that, and so a lot of Christians were put to death. John was an old man, so Domitian just puts them on this deserted island called Patmos. And so that's where John has this vision, this revelation from the Lord. And so he's writing to churches that existed at that time. And so look what he says in verse 4. He says, John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, that would be modern-day Turkey, he says, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. And I love that phrase, because here Domitian thought that he was all that. And John makes it clear that no, Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth, that he is even in authority over Domitian. And Domitian's day is going to come, and it did come. He was assassinated, you know, by somebody who didn't want him to be king anymore. And then John goes on. He says, look in the latter part of verse 4. He says to him, or verse 5, he says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So he refers to Jesus. He's the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. But then he makes it very personal and brings it home to us. And he says, to him, that is to Jesus, who loves us. And no, it's in the present tense. He's not referring back to the cross, who loved us on the cross, but he's alive today and he loves us. And he has freed us from our sins by his blood. And then he's made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve as God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. There is one person, if you know Jesus as your Savior, there is one person that loves you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that is Jesus. He loved you on the cross, past tense. But he's alive today and he loves you now. You never have to feel that you're unloved. You never have to feel that no one cares. Jesus is with you. You know, when I was in the hospital right before Christmas, so when they discovered I had endocarditis, it was a rough hospitalization. You know, when it comes to hospitalizations, I have frequent flyer miles. You know you're at the hospital too often when the person in charge of dietary for Lenfest 5 West, that's the cardiac unit at Abington, when you show up and she calls you on the phone and she says, "Oh, Mr. Emberger," and if I remember correctly, you don't like mayonnaise and you don't drink coffee, you like tea. Yes, that is correct. You know you're in the hospital too many times when they know that about you. And that's not even in my file. That's in her memory. And she's a good and kind person. But it was a rough hospitalization. It really was. And there were nights I was on antibiotics, super antibiotics, 24 hours a day. My brother's a scientist, and he just was down the other week from New Hampshire. And the antibiotics had really pretty bad side effects. They just made me extremely tired and weak. I'm off of them now. But in the hospital, they even gave me stronger antibiotics through IV. And my brother Gary said, "Do you know what antibiotic stands for, Bob?" And I said, "No." He says, "Well, biotic is from the Greek word bios, which means life. And anti means against life. And so antibiotics are against life. Now, not against your life, but against the life of the bacteria that are in your body. And it's like a poison. They're trying to kill it. And so there's side effects. So, you know, they put out the 16-inch battleship guns in the hospital of antibiotics to just destroy this bacterial infection that I had. And it was rough. And I didn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. I was up in the wee hours of the morning, not just from the medical personnel who came in to do vitals and take blood work and sugar checks and all that, but I was up just because I just was pretty sick, and I couldn't sleep. But you know, on my cell phone, I have a whole lot of Christian songs on my cell phone, and hymns and praise songs. And in the wee hours of the morning, I just played them. And nurses would come in and others would come in and do their work, and they heard about Jesus through my songs. But I just listened to them. And it turned my eyes to Jesus, and it reminded me that even though I was in a tough spot, a tight spot, Jesus was there with me. And he was loving me. And he was for me. And he was watching over me. And he was providing good medical care. And he was sustaining me. So this is a love note from the Lord, that not only did God love us on the cross, but Jesus is loving us now. To him who loves us, and then he has freed us from our sins, so sin is no longer my master, and then he's made me to be part of this kingdom, a kingdom where I am royalty. Prince Robert, Prince Carlos, Princess Marcia. Or maybe I should call her queen. But we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are his princes and princesses. And then we are priests. And what that means is that we can come to Jesus directly. We don't need to go through somebody. But you can talk to Jesus at any time, wherever you are, by yourself, knowing that he hears. And so John ends up, he says, with this love note from the Lord, he says, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So that's the second love note, that Jesus is actively loving you now. Loving you now in the present. And doing for you all that he can do as your Lord, as your Savior, as your friend. There's another love note, and that's in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And we're going to start in verse 6 for context. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and following. Third love note from the Lord. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the third love note. And this does go back to the past when Jesus died on the cross, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it goes on, it says that for a good person, someone might possibly even dare to die. You know, you read about stories, I'm a kind of an amateur student of World War II. You know, my dad was in World War II, and Marcia's father was in World War II. They're both with the Lord. Marcia's father was on a landing transport in the Pacific Theater, and he is a piece of a kamikaze plane that crashed that thankfully did not kill him, but a piece of a plane has the rising sun, the piece of the red rising sun insignia from the Empire of Japan. And my dad, he was in World War Two as well. And you read stories about how somebody would sacrifice his life for his fellow soldiers. He would give up his life in battle for his fellow soldiers. He would sacrifice himself. And that's what Paul is saying, that for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But listen to what God did. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us. So think about that. Here we are, sinners against the holy God. And we do all sorts of things that are objectionable to God. And God could be perfectly just and holy, and he could have just condemned us to eternal damnation, to hell. But he didn't do that. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. It would be like somebody breaking into your house, stealing everything you have. You confront him, he beats you up to an inch of your life, you're just about dead, ransacks your home, sets it on fire, steals your car. How are you going to feel about him? Not have really warm, fuzzy thoughts. And yet that's what we did to a holy God by our lifestyles. And yet Jesus said, I will come, and I will be born of the Virgin Mary, and I will grow up, and I will go to the cross, and I will take the sins of the whole world upon me. So when God the Father looked down upon Jesus on the cross, he no longer saw his beloved Son in whom he was well pleased, but he saw your sin, he saw my sin. He smelled the stench of it all. And God is a holy God, and God opened up the floodgates of his wrath to pour down his wrath upon Jesus. That he who knew no sin, that is Jesus, became sin for us. So that when you place your faith in Christ, you're clothed with his righteousness. So he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's what Jesus did for us. Jesus didn't die for good people, he died for bad people. You know, at the Whosoever Gospel Mission, we have staff devotions every morning, and we use them also for training opportunities. And one of the things I was sharing the other day, I was saying, you know, think of the mission as a hospital, as a spiritual hospital. You know, in all the times I've ever gone to Abington Hospital, and I go up to the emergency room, I've never been rushed there by ambulance. I've always been driven there in a car. But I've never gone up to the emergency room front window, and I give them my name and birthday. And as soon as they see who I am, they see my long track record of cardiac issues, they always take me right back. You know, I mean, I could go in for a hangnail on my foot and say, you know, I have a little chest congestion. Oh, by the way, could you look at my toe? You know, but they just would take me back because of my cardiac history. There's not one time they've ever said to me, "What? You again? We're tired of you coming here. You know, come on, man up." They've never said that. They've always taken me back. Because hospitals are for sick people, right? They're for sick people, not for healthy people. And Jesus, he said that he came to call sinners, the sick, to repentance. Jesus said, "I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick." And that's what the mission is. We're a spiritual hospital for those who are sick, who need to be made whole in Christ. But you know, you and I, we also need Jesus as our great physician, because we are still spiritually sick and we need him. And Jesus loves us, not because we're good, not because we're healthy, not because we're whole, but he loves us at our worst. And when he died on the cross, he knew every single sin that you were ever going to commit. He knows all the sins that you and I are still going to commit. And yet he went to the cross and he said, "I love this person. I'm going to fix his problem. I'm going to die on the cross for his sin so he or she does not have to die for their sins." That's what Romans 5:8 is saying, that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ knows that we're sick, and he knows that we need to be made whole. And that's what his blood does for us. It makes us whole. And then one final love note, and I'm pretty much just going to read it and not comment on it, because it's a verse you and I know well. We memorized it as a child. I grew up at Bishop Hoffman Reformed Episcopal Church on Frankfort Avenue, a good church. And I memorized this when I was a little boy. In fact, let's say it together. I memorized it in the King James, John 3:16. Let's say it together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the fourth love note. So as you celebrate Valentine's Day this year, you know, buy candy for your loved one, flowers, say kind things, be nice, be good, but remember that there's somebody who loves you and loves you perfectly and loved you by sending his Son to die on the cross for your sins, and that's God himself, God the Father. And remember that Jesus did all that, and he loves you too, and he's actively loving you today, watching over you, protecting you, caring for you, walking with you through life. If you fall down, Jesus will pick you up, and he'll hold you tighter than anyone could possibly hold you. And then remember too that God still has the best yet to come. The best is yet to come. I like life. I really do. I really don't want to die. I know I'll be with Jesus, but I really don't want to die. I like life. I like the gift of life. You know? But I know that if I do die, I'll see Jesus face to face. And that would be the best ever. That would be the best ever. So friends, I just encourage you, celebrate Valentine's Day, but look beyond just the earthly Valentine's Day, and let this Tuesday be a day of worship, a day of celebration, a day of gratitude, a day of thanks, a day of joy, that Jesus loves you, and he's for you, and he's with you, and he's doing good things in your life now, and the best is yet to come. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving us. You didn't love us because we were good people or nice people or perfect people. In a sense, Lord, we put you on the cross. We drove those nails into your hands and feet, and we cried out to the crowd, "Crucify him." But yet, Lord, you love us. And you did this for us. You saw that we had a problem, a sin problem we couldn't fix, and you said, "I will fix it." And you did it not because you had to, you did it because you wanted to. You had pity and mercy and compassion upon us, and so you went to the cross willingly and freely. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that you still love us, that every single waking moment of our life, you love us, you walk with us. You're not ashamed to call us your brothers and sisters. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have amazing plans yet in store for us. The best Christmas ever, when we see you face to face. So Lord, until that day comes, let us walk in your love, let us rejoice and celebrate and revel in your love, and let us just feel good about your love. And so we pray all this now in the name of Jesus. Amen.